During inflation, American speculators went into Germany and bought huge pieces of valuable real estate for sums as low as $50 in our money. Hello there, my friends. Raf here from the Endgame Investor with this week's Silver Report for Arcadia Economics. And this week was surprising. We dipped below 30 for a few days and then quickly went back above. Who knows what's going to happen today and tomorrow? By the time you're watching this, things could be different. But we have held above 30 and looks like we're going to close the week healthfully above 30. We're going to compare this to what was going on in 2010 and 2011. It is actually very similar. A long-term look at what bubbles are, we are actually stuck at the 1929 top, and it's been that way for months in the Dow versus gold ratio. And you'll see three progressive bubbles made and pumped up by the Fed, that one got higher than the next, except for this last one, which is a little bit deflated or a lot of bit deflated. And we're just waiting for this final one to fully deflate to 1980 levels. And I'll show you that chart forthwithly. Gold open interest resets downward. We are at around 450,000 contracts again, which is good news and shows that we have the fuel for another leg up. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to start right now, but open interest is low enough in the futures market that we have room. We have fuel for a rally when it decides to begin. The gold to silver ratio bounced off trend line this week, a trend line made since 2011. And remember when I said that in Weimar Germany, at the peak of the hyperinflation, you could buy a swanky house in Berlin for about 75 ounces of silver? Well, I found an even more extreme example than that. And if we do go through a monetary crisis, which I fully expect, we should be seeing similar numbers in real estate relative to gold and silver. And on my channel, my latest video, we'll talk about, I haven't uploaded it yet, but it's coming. We'll talk about why this makes sense from a back-end perspective, why real estate falls so hard relative to real money compared to other goods and services. It has to do with the magnification factor and debt. And by the way, the news on the street is that war is going to break out here in the next 2 weeks. I don't know if this is true. But if there are technical problems with the Silver Report over the next few weeks, then I'm probably evacuating south. I don't expect to, but I should be able to record down south. I have a place to go if I need to. I have friends down there. Everything's fine right now. But I don't think I will be in this studio if I have to evacuate because I can't bring it with me. And what about my stacks? Well, they're already divided amongst friends throughout the country, people I trust. And so hopefully everything will be peaceful and this war will be called off for good reasons. By the way, this is a picture of my block from last week when a rocket hit just outside of the city and lit up the skies with smoke and fire. So that's fun. Thank God nobody was injured or killed and no property was damaged except for some twigs. I like twigs, so I'm upset.
Everyone needs a log.
Log from Blammo.
But let's continue with this week's Silver Report brought to you by Fortuna Silver Mines, symbol FSM. I want to compare two slides on their corporate presentation here. This shows each of their major mines, or I think all of their mines, and the production for each. So we have here, and we're going to compare this to the all-in sustaining cost for each mine. So basically, the point is when you see lists of all-in sustaining costs for mines, you have to weigh them by how much production per mine. So you see the Séguéla mine is the most productive at 126 to 138,000 ounces of gold for 2024 estimated production. Runner up is the Yaramoko mine in Burkina Faso at 105 to 119 equivalent ounces of gold. And then Lindero at third, 93 to 105,000. And San Jose is the main silver mine and Kailoma the least productive. So remember that Séguéla, Yaramoko, Lindero, San Jose, Kailoma. And here we have the same order, Séguéla, Yaramoko, Lindero, San Jose, Kailoma. And the most productive mine is also the most efficient at between $1,110 to $1,230 per ounce, all-in sustaining costs of production. And here, Yaramoko is runner-up. Remember, it was the second most productive and the second most expensive. So the company, basically, Fortuna Silver Mines, what I'm saying is that it is heavily weighted towards the most efficient mines. And so its cost of production are very, very good compared to the price of gold and silver going forward. The least productive mine is also the most expensive, still comfortably profitable. Gold is now at about $2,400 an ounce. And the upper end of the estimation here is $1,950 per ounce in Lindero. So even its less efficient mines are well within profitability. And that's just another reason why I like FSM and why I own it. Do your own due diligence, and we'll continue with this week's Silver Report. Okay, this chart I kajigged from Gold Charts R Us. Really, they kajigged it. I just brought it up. Stuck at the 1929 Dow Jones top. By the Dow Jones top in 1929, right before the crash of 1929, I'm in a Great Depression mood because I'm reading a diary about the Great Depression. And I'll show you the entry at the end of these slides about the more extreme note that I found than the 75 ounces of silver for a house in Germany, even more extreme than that. And it's at the end here. But anyway, stuck at the 1929 Dow Jones top. This is relative to gold. So the Dow relative to gold was about 19 ounces to buy the Dow. And this was in 1929. And you can see here that we've been stuck in this range since about 2018, looks like 2019. I don't know the exact year, but in the last 5, 6 years, that's where we've been stuck at the 1929 top of stocks versus gold. The second bubble was in the 1960s, 1970s, with the fall of the London gold pool and the end of convertibility, the closing of the gold window by Nixon. That led to a collapse of the bubble in the 1970s. And here we have the third bubble, which was the most extreme of all, into the 2000 top, into the NASDAQ top. And we haven't gotten anywhere near that spectacular bubble again. We're stuck at the first bubble top in 1929. Also, I wanted to put some perspective on this Great Depression over here. On this gold to stocks ratio, gold to Dow ratio, Dow to gold ratio, whatever it is, when we're down over here, the problem, what makes people poor in a depression is not necessarily that stocks are not expensive relative to gold or they're really cheap. It's that people bought on the way up, up, up over here, and then they had to sell and they lost all their money. So you have cheap stocks, but nobody has any money. And it's the same thing with other goods and services. They can't afford food. They can't afford shelter. They're very poor and it's a depression. But if somebody just held on and didn't participate in this bubble and just held on to their money, meaning their gold and their silver, not necessarily their dollars, because again, the dollar is a derivative, then they would have been fine. They would have been able to pick up a bunch of stuff at a discount. Same thing over here, 1970s, 1980s. This was also a depression, but you see here, the Fed tried to pump up the bubble again up to about 22 ounces of gold, but haven't gotten anywhere near the second or third bubble tops. So we're waiting for this final one to deflate, or this half bubble to deflate, and that should lead us to the end game in my estimation. Let's go to the next slide. So gold open interest, this is important for traders. It looks like we are down to about 444,000 contracts. I think that was the low. I think it went a little bit lower than this. This is from 2 days ago, this chart, but it's around here. And we see that we have liquidated on the open interest in gold futures from about 540,000 contracts to about 440,000 contracts. It's about 100,000 contracts liquidated since mid-May. And the price of gold has not gone down. They've gone from highs of about 2450 to about 2400 now, so about 50 bucks. That's not really anything these days, meaning we have plenty of fuel for new contracts to be opened and the price to head higher. Whether it starts now, I do not know, but the fuel is there to make it sustained once it does start. And we see a longer view, a longer term view going back to 2022 of open interest. We can see that we are in the average range that we've been in, below average, really. I mean, I think most of the time we were on top of here, and we see here the peaks, and we're way below that. So yeah, we can go a little bit lower in open interest, and that would be helpful. The low was 400,000 over here, and this is when I was calling for a pretty big rally, which is exactly what happened over here. This was a major low, and then we've been rallying ever since. So yeah, open interest numbers in gold look good. We have the fuel for another takeoff. Exactly when it starts, we'll see, but the fuel is there. Gold to silver ratio. Looking back to 2011, we have a trend line here from 2011 when it was about 30 to 1 to 2021. This is the silver squeeze top over here when it was about 65, 63, something like that, to one. And we've hit the trend line again over here at about 76 to one. Is that the number 76? I can't tell. The red line's like probably a six. Yeah. So we have to break this trend line to get to the next major silver rally. And I think we will pretty soon. We'll see if we can break it here. We might have a little bit of a bounce and then a breakthrough. Once this trend line breaks and it's a 12-year, 13-year trend line, I think we're going to be in for some fireworks is the point. I wanted to talk about this week. This is speculation on my part. The case isn't that strong here, but I just wanted to make it anyway as a possibility. So I looked at the charts from 2010 to 2011. And if you remember a few weeks ago on the Silver Report, I talked about the top in the 1970s at 650, corresponding to the top in 2010, the triple top at 650 in the 1970s, the triple top at 20 going into 2010, 2011, and now the triple top at 30 that was recently broken, and now we're on our way higher. So this is from the triple top at 20, this final break over here in September 2010. You can see here the low in that week. This is a weekly chart. The low was 1959. So I looked at the daily charts. I didn't put that daily chart in here. It's too tedious, but just trust me. The daily chart shows that after we broke 20 for the third time, we were trading below 20 for about four trading days until the trend was sustained much higher to another local top about 30, 31. And then we had about a 1 month decline here and then all the way up to 50. Four trading days below 20. And that is very similar to what's happening now. Why? Because this is the daily chart of the 2024 break of 30. Just like in 2010, we had a triple top break of 20. Now we have a triple top break of 30, which corresponds to the CPI. And I went through that about 3 weeks ago. Check the other silver reports and you'll see it. And so here's 30. We had a break of 30. And if you go down here, we had three trading days where we traded below 30 despite breaking the triple top at 30. It was three trading days breaking below 30, just like we had four trading days breaking below 20 before we headed to another top. I'm surprised that we only broke through 30 very briefly. I thought we were going to go to the 50-week moving average here, or 50-day moving average here. Yeah, the 50-day moving average. I wouldn't be surprised if we went to 28, but we didn't go that low. So we'll see what happens here. It looks encouraging. And could it be that this will be a repeat of 2010 where we broke 20 briefly and then headed up to 30 and then to 50? It could be. I'm not predicting it necessarily in the next few months, but the point is it could happen and you got to be in and don't be surprised if it does, because when it does happen, it's going to surprise everybody. About the miners, are also on a trend line that it looks could be broken anytime now. So we've been, the higher this goes, the worse mining stocks are performing relative to gold and silver. So we have the low here in 2022, which was strong mining stocks. And we had a trend line hit over here in 2023, and this trend line is hitting again. So if we can break below this trend line, we can have a sustained rally. And mining stocks looks like that's what they wanted to do yesterday. We'll see if it can be sustained. Finally, want to get into the goodies here. I promised that I would talk about the more extreme case than 75 ounces of silver for a house in Germany, in Weimar, Germany in 1923. So this is from the Diary of Benjamin Roth, a book that I'm reading, A Great Depression, a diary, page 121. So I highlighted here, if you want to try to make out my handwriting, then you can try to tease out the reason that I figured out that this happens. This is common sense back in 1933. Not everyone had common sense back in 33, but Benjamin Roth had a fair amount of it. So he says, inflation is a terrible thing, and I hope it will never come to America. This is entries from July 1st, 1933. It penalizes saving and changes the entire outlook of the prudent investor from government bonds, life insurance, etc., to speculative stocks and commodities. Yes, we all know this. It's the same now. The German mark before the war was worth almost 25 cents in American money. When inflation ended, right, in 1923, he's talking about, a dollar would buy about a billion marks. During inflation, American speculators went into Germany and bought huge pieces of valuable real estate for sums as low as $50 in our money. Hunger, starvation, and ruin were the results of German inflation. In no country has it ever proven to be a blessing. So $50 for a valuable piece of real estate. He's not specifying here exactly what valuable piece of real estate that could be. I'm just saying it's a house, or it could be a building, or whatever it is. So $50 at $20.67 is about 2.4 ounces of gold for a house. Multiply that by 16 at a 16-to-1 historic monetary ratio for silver, and that's about 39 ounces of silver for a house. So 75 ounces for a swanky, nice place in Berlin, and 39 ounces of silver for a run-of-the-mill family home, let's say. I still believe this is going to happen. And on my YouTube channel, you can look it up, Rafi Farber. I don't know why I didn't call it the Endgame Investor, but that's just what it was. It's my name, Rafi Farber. And you can find out why I think mechanically, from a balance sheet perspective, this is going to happen again. When it does, it will be brief, and that is the economy calling for silver to reestablish a division of labor and hold off a zombie apocalypse. So what kills zombies? Silver bullets, or really silver coins, because it reestablishes a division of labor. So instead of having to eat each other, we can trade with each other and eat what we trade instead of each other's brains.
I'm sorry, I just can't help it. The brain's the best part. The part that makes me feel human again.
That's such a nice thought. And with that, I wanted to leave you this week's Silver Report for Arcadia Economics, and I'll see you guys next week.